mom surviving life. Tough questions, real answers, awesome hacks.
Hello and welcome to Mom Surviving Life. Today, Carla and I are going to talk about how I, Erica, stay so organized. Carla wants to know all my tips, tricks, and hacks. So we're going to do this for the world to hear. Also, this is part one because she made a super lengthy list and this show outline is like 2 pages. And yeah, as always, please subscribe to the podcast on whichever platform you listen to us on. And please follow us on social media.
Yay, I am so excited about this episode.
You asked too many questions, in my opinion. I was like, I'm just going to take half of these and go over to a new episode.
That's fine. But I feel like if I have these questions, then other moms would have these questions. And that's what we're here for. We're here to help other moms like us. And I am struggling. So I asked Erica about scheduling and how she schedules her week. So it's going to be a lot of Erica talking because it's all her information.
I'm going to hate editing this episode.
And I'm just going to sit here and be like, okay, I love it. Now I need to do it.
Okay, so first I have to preface this with I am a naturally organized person. I grew up organized, and just so you're all aware, I fold the flat sheet on top of my bed underneath, and when I wake up, I wake up like one of those like princesses that like my bed still looks like a bed that I can just like open the covers, get out, and like close the bed again. Okay, like I'm that, like that neurotic. Even watching the home edit and cleaning up with Marie Kondo, I think is her name, I didn't really learn that much. Like I learned how to, I don't know, fold a few things and like learned how to file a different way, but like I just more so watched it to be like, ooh, that's something to aspire to. But I was like watching people's pantries afterwards, I was like, that kind of just looks like the pantry I had. Second, time management is key. And I know that people say they have time management, but there's a difference between adhering to a schedule that has been set for you and creating your own schedule. I am the second. I know how long it takes for me to change the sheets on my bed, my kids' beds. I know how long it takes for me to sort laundry. The tasks that you do, you need to start calculating how long they take and then start plotting how long it takes to do certain things. Like I know it takes me about 10 minutes to sort laundry, about 5 minutes to put a load on, 10 minutes if the kids are helping me. And I always round up and I basically put everything into 5 minute increment blocks. So I can kind of figure out, like, I know the girls' bedtime routine takes between 15 and 20 minutes. So I know if I start it by 6:45, they should be in bed by 7:05 at the latest, 7:10. And that's with me like changing my clothes and coming back upstairs. Third is that this is a time and financial commitment, but at the same time, it's not. And I understand that is a contradiction. I do allot a period of time to get myself organized for the week. So in that sense, it is a time commitment, but I spend 20 minutes writing out a schedule, which then saves me countless hours of what am I supposed to do next. The financial, which I will get into more, it's more of like the meal prepping side of it. And the specifically, like when I go grocery shopping, I buy a lot more than a lot of people that I know. But at the same time, I don't spend as much. And I also, I put everything in Tupperware. I don't like using Ziploc bags. So like I've probably spent on my Tupperware, I'm going to say close to $150. And when I say Tupperware, I don't mean name brand Tupperware. I mean like, well, thrifted Tupperware, yes. But like Rubbermaid, and I have the Dollarama, like meal prep containers, which I will take pictures of all of this stuff and like my food in them. And fourth is learning how to say no. No, I cannot attend that event. No, I will not be donating to your cause. No, that does not work for me. No is a complete sentence and does not require justification. We say this all the time, but it's so true. People ask me to do stuff. Like I had a friend, she messaged me the other week and she's like, hey, I'm having drinks tonight. You want to come? And I'm like, no. I'm like, I need a week lead time on your next event. So the next time she gave me a week and I was there.
Perfect. I'm not going to lie. Shane just yelled at me for this. He's like, you just offered yourself up to help when you don't have time to do the things you already are doing. And I just kind of chuckled and was like, yeah, I did, didn't I? He's like, you do it all the time. And then you bitch about it.
So I'm going to first start off with the building a schedule and the time management. So this I didn't put in the outline because I kind of forgot about it until right now. But building your schedule, figure out how long it takes for you to do things. Every single person I know has to change the sheets on your bed. And if you're not changing the sheets on your bed, like, probably should start. Just saying.
Yeah.
I change my sheets once every like 8 days pretty consistently. Like, I'm like an 8 day, that's when it is. So whenever that day rolls around, I change sheets on my bed. I can do it with my kids running around. It takes me like 5-10 minutes. I always round up, so it's 10 minutes is the time I allot myself. I know how long it takes for me to get ready in the morning with and without makeup. Makeup takes me about 10 minutes. And yes, I do contour. So all these women out there that are like, it takes me an hour to do my makeup. No, it doesn't. It takes you about 10 minutes to do your makeup and about 50 minutes to figure out what eyeshadow you're going to use and what lipstick you're going to wear. So figure out how long it takes for you to do whatever task you're putting where. And start building your schedule. The best thing I can tell everyone is use an Excel spreadsheet. Best thing in the world. Which, by the way, is your jam. So that should be very helpful for you. I would say if you want to, use them in like 10 or 15 minutes. I would say 15 minute increments for your day as a cell. And then just start building from there. And then you can get to a point where you're like, oh, okay. Like, and it sounds really mundane to use an Excel spreadsheet in the very beginning. But that's how I started. And it was like, I'm allotting myself an hour to work out, but then I also need a half hour on each end to drive to the gym and then a half hour after my workout to like get ready to go to work. And then another half hour between getting ready and getting to my employment because I used to work all over the city. And like, I would share the schedule with my mom. Like, I would email it to her so that she had it. So she knew where I was when. This is before we had tracking apps on our phones. So I built my schedule. It works for me. Build your own schedule. I really can't go past that because like, if I do, then it's more like, hey, this is my schedule and it doesn't work.
No, and everybody's life is different. So you absolutely have to do your own schedule.
I still have some of these. I'm going to edit them out. Now that I know how long stuff takes me, I write my schedule out in two places. And yes, I handwrite with a writing utensil in two places. I have a written planner. It came from the dollar store. I also have a whiteboard. It also came from the dollar store, as did the colored markers that I use in my written planner and the whiteboard markers that I use on my whiteboard. The written planner I have evolved over the years. I've used a number of different ones. I don't mind the one I have now because it's not in like timed increments. It's just blocks that says like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and it's not dated. So I can do however many schedules I want.
That's nice.
Yes, I prefer now the blankets just like, hey, this is Monday. And then I just write in everything I need to write in. On my whiteboard, again, it's the same thing. It just says Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. My schedules start on a Monday and end on Sunday because I find it's easier to get everything started on a Monday. I don't know why, it just is.
Well, don't you normally do your scheduling and stuff on Sunday? So then you have like the week.
Yes, yes, I do. So but that's also
too.
But that's also because I used to work in hospitality, for lack of a better term. And as you know, working in hospitality, your weekend is Sunday, Monday. Like, your weekend is not Saturday, Sunday. My Google Calendar, which if you do not have a Google account, please get a Google account and get a Google Calendar or use your, honestly, I've used Apple Calendar. I don't like it. It's a preference. I do have an electronic calendar, but also I had a BlackBerry that I set down and I've lost everything in it, including photos. This was also around December 10. I was in post-secondary education, so I lost my exam schedule, my exam review, I was working retail at the time, so of course I lost my Christmas schedule, and I lost just about everyone's contacts that I had in classes and in work, and I was like crying at Bell. That was a fun time. So I now have everything backed up to a Google Calendar so that when my phone decides to die, I can still log into a computer.
Yeah.
Now, if the world just decides to dismantle all technology, we're all kind of SOL.
But you're still fully capable of making your handwritten one.
Yeah, but I don't have any of my appointments.
Yeah, all the information is gone, but still make one.
So on my Google Calendar, I do three reminders. I have 2 hours before, one day before, and I also have started doing 1 week before when I realized that I had an appointment the next day and then had to tell my boss that I needed the next day pretty much off. And he's like, well, that was nice that you gave us notice. And I was like, I should probably fix this.
Fair enough.
My Google Calendar is where I put everything if it's more than 7 days away, only because I know that I just carry my phone with me everywhere, and that's just easier. I used to put it all in my Google Calendar, and now I don't like doing that.
Wait, what?
I used to put all of my everything in my Google Calendar and did not have a written planner, and I didn't like it.
Oh, okay.
I
needed that specified. Something didn't sound right. I was confused.
One thing that has remained constant pretty much since I have started all of this: color code everything across the board. Light green is chores. Dark green is I write out my budget and my monthly planning and stuff like that. That's all in green. My work schedule is in light blue. The podcast and everything is in dark blue. Everything to do with the girls is pink. Everything to do with me is purple. Laundry is an orangey color, orangey yellow. My ex's visitation schedule, if it's varied, is red, as well as anytime that I have a holiday, it's written in red, which basically is attention over here. This is disrupting your schedule. And then I'm trying to think of what other colors that I use. Oh, black is what I write as far as numbers and the dates and stuff. I maintain my weekly schedules. I write them out every Sunday, like you said. So Sunday night, I write out my whiteboard schedule, and then Monday, I do my written planner, and I do it at work, partly because a lot of Monday morning is spent me sitting on hold at work. So yeah, my whiteboard planner takes about 10 minutes, and then my written planner takes about 20 minutes, and I'm not going to lie, 10 minutes is writing my second page out of all my blocks that I have, which I believe I did send you a picture of.
Yeah.
So I make to-do list blocks of do your self-care, which I've kind of been lazy on, but I'll do did I do six workouts this week? Did I do 6 units of self-care? Did I knit and read? And did I do all my chores? Did I do the laundry that I wanted to do? I write all that out, and then I have pencil crayons that I color in, and it's kind of structured like a bullet journal, which I think that's kind of cool.
I like it.
Well, it's
a picture, and
it's very clean.
Yes, and it's very easy to see whether you're accomplishing what you want to or not, right? In a very simplified way.
And I have knitting and reading, and it's did you knit 2 rows of the blanket? Is every one of those triangles? And the other one's did you read for 15 minutes? So I haven't read yet this week, and it's Wednesday. So I'm behind 45 minutes on reading. But if I sit tomorrow and read for 45 minutes, I'm caught up.
Yeah.
Well, technically I'd have to read for an hour, but it's you know how easy it is to read for an hour? And I don't have a specified, you have to read your book. I just have, you have to read for an hour every 4 days.
Right.
And then I have nothing scheduled on Sunday, because Sunday is when I do nothing.
Yeah.
Legitimately, I do nothing. I don't do chores. We eat leftovers. I might meal prep. That's about it. I also schedule my friend hangouts. It's rare that I do stuff on a whim. However, Carla was what are you doing tomorrow? And I was oh, nothing. She's can I come? And I'm yeah, I have nothing planned. There have been friends, and a lot of my friends can attest to this, they'll come over to my house, and I'm hey, I'm doing laundry. I don't care. I'm I have stuff that has to get done. You're more than welcome to come hang out. And we really need to normalize bringing your friends with you to do errands. Like, it's very common in other countries, except I feel like in North America. Like, I have friends that are European and they're like, I don't care if you're doing chores. It's weird that you're just like sitting here being like, so what are you doing? And they're just like awkwardly staring at you.
But it's true. Like, you shouldn't have to put your life on hold because someone popped by, right? Like, I know we do that a lot where we just like, okay, well, okay, we're not doing anything because you're here.
Like, yeah, I'm all for like having a visit with someone, but at the same time, like, if you've got laundry to run, like, run your laundry. Like, first of all, laundry takes like 2 hours before you can pretty much do anything.
Yeah. So,
I don't know why more people aren't like, well, I can't do laundry, but anyone's here. You're not folding your underwear in front of the queen. Like,
very true.
Also, like, my grandparents, when they were helping me with my kids, they legitimately just like folded all the laundry. So what is the difference between them folding laundry when my kids are 6 months old or me them watching me fold my laundry because I'm able to do it now? Is there anything else that you want me to touch on with scheduling or any questions that you have?
Just touch on that like to-do list at the end of your scheduling section.
Oh, I was gonna, so that is like, if you look at the next two sections, it says chores and then it says to-do list.
Oh, okay.
So the next thing on our list is chores. I'm not going to lie. I hate chores with a passion. Like, trust me, I love cleaning. I hate chores. I will clean the bathroom like nobody's business. It's so easy. It's so like 20 minutes it takes to clean your bathroom. 20, 30 minutes, really. I prefer to spread cleaning out throughout the week. I am not that person that takes 4 hours on a Saturday to clean my house. I don't, God bless you people. I can't do it. I really can't. It bothers me.
Who wants to clean their house on their day off?
And like, that's the only day I get with my kids, really. So like, no.
Yeah. Like, you just want to enjoy your day, not spend it cleaning and doing chores all day.
Plus, if you clean for, like, 20 to 30 minutes Monday to Friday, which I know sucks because, like, we all work full-time, but if you clean for 20 to 30 minutes Monday to Friday, you actually don't have to clean on Saturday. So, Mondays I clean the bathrooms because I don't like going through my week with a dirty bathroom. Tuesdays I clean the kitchen and I, like, clean the stove, wipe down all the counters, wipe down the kitchen table. And this is like I currently live with my parents. So like my mom and I are like tag teaming cleaning right now. Like sometimes I'll do this or she'll do that. And it's like, I'll go to do it. And she's like, well, I already did it. I'm like, oh, okay. Cause she'll have the day off and clean the whole house. I'm like, whatever, you know, sweep and mop the kitchen floor, go through the fridge and throw out everything that's expired. Make sure that all your meal prep is good, which is ironic on a Tuesday because I meal prep on like Sunday. But I just like go through and make sure that like, you know, everything that I've bought is still fresh. If I bought it last week, that it's not going bad, that kind of thing. Wednesdays was basically my floor day. Like I would sweep and mop all the other floors in the house that weren't the kitchen and the bathroom. Thursday, I would always change the sheets on my bed because like Friday, Saturday, I'm just like crawling into bed and I don't care and I don't want dirty sheets for that. Thursday was change the sheets on my bed. And then Friday, generally Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I pretty much did nothing besides like keep the rest of my house tidy. Friday was like the day that I would like tidy my living room or like file all of my receipts for the week, but that was pretty much it. So I didn't really feel like it was too much of a crazy thing, especially Friday. You're tired. You're like, I'm just going to sit here. And it's like, for me, it's just like emptying all the receipts out of my wallet and putting them in their respective folders. And logging it on an Excel spreadsheet.
Yeah, pretty easy to do while you're just sitting watching TV.
I was just going to say, while you're binging your shows. One load of laundry a day. My laundry is, and I wash my kids' clothes with mine. I do darks, lights, non-dryers mixed into those two, towels and sheets.
I do a load of laundry a day too, but I do like my clothes, Shane's clothes, Ella's clothes, towels. Like, it's just easier for us to keep them separate. Shane's are gross.
I was just going to say, Shane has a very dirty blue collar job.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to wash Shane's clothes with mine either.
No.
But I wash my clothes with my kids' clothes. It just condenses one laundry.
Yeah. I would, but I don't. Although I love their soap. I still wash their clothes and like the baby soap and it smells so good.
I use Norwex. I've been using it since my kids were born. So I use that on all of our clothes. And then I also clean with Norwex, which literally you have like three cloths that you use to clean pretty much everything. So it's super easy and super fast. And I'm not going to lie, when I'm like, I do a load of laundry a day. Yeah, sometimes that is a bold-faced lie. I am not going to lie. I have totally left my laundry till Saturday, piled it up, done like six loads back to back to back. My mom hates me because then she's complaining that she has to do her laundry the next day. And I'm like, I'm sorry. However, I do like that I can get up on a Saturday morning and get like two loads done before she wakes up, which is fantastic.
Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah, she sleeps in. I don't have that luxury yet.
No, we do not.
My two-year-olds do chores. If your child is over the age of two and they have no household chores, why? Just get them to do chores. It's not slave labor. It's not abusing your child. And really, 90% of my kids' chores, they think is a game.
Oh, for sure. How you gotta do it.
So my children clean the tub.
I started doing this with Ella, too.
And for anyone who's like, how do you get your child to clean the tub? First of all, Lee Valley sells nail brushes. They're like 50 cents each. First of all, they're great for cradle cap. Second of all, they make great scrub for like scrubbers for the grout of your bathroom. Now, they're only getting like the first two tiles of the bathtub, but really that is where all the soap scum on your bathtub is anyways. And it's in the bathtub. So I take Dawn dish soap, which is my kids have bathed with this forever. And it also makes awesome bubbles with a whisk. So that's a second bonus to it because they have a massive bubble bath. So I take it and like I just like draw a line, and I'll have to take a picture of this next time I do a bath of how I do this. And then I give them a nail brush and they just like go to town making bubbles with the Dawn dish soap and the nail brush on the tub. But like what they don't realize is they're scrubbing the soap on the tub, like the soap scum. We also have glass shower doors. I just take the Dawn dish soap and just make a line. So it kind of looks like, is it like a drizzle cake? Is that what it looks like?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Thank you. Okay. I'm like, I don't know. I don't know what it's called. So yeah, it looks just like a drizzle cake, except it's blue on white and you just let them scrub and scrub and scrub. And I don't have to deal with that. Like my kids are cleaning the tub. Perfect. They put their clothes in the hamper. Now, they are putting their clothes in a single basket. We have a Dollarama, like it's a, I would say it's like a barrel-like bin. And it doesn't really have a lot of structure to it, except when you fill it up, it starts to get more structured. So they put their clothes in the hamper. It's not sorted. I have to sort their clothes into my laundry sorter. But it's not, like, it's one less thing I have to carry and do. Because I have twins, this is a luxury I have. Hey, can you go get mommy a diaper? Can you go get mommy the wipes? Can you go get mommy X? Explaining to my children that they can actually go and get a specific object and bring it back to me, that is a chore. Putting toys away. My children can put their toys away. They cannot put their puzzle back in the puzzle bag, but they can put the puzzle back together and put it back on the table. Also, I struggle getting the puzzle in the puzzle bag sometimes. So, like, but like, Reagan was playing with, like, I got those little figurines, the Paw Patrol figurines. I sent you a picture.
Yeah.
They're from like Dollar Tree. They're $1.25. So they're like, I don't know, $7.50 for the whole set. My kids love them. They're like, I'm going to say 1.5 inch, 2 inch little plastic figurines. I'm like, can you go put those on the table? They walk over and they set them up on the table. Like, they're putting them on display. I'm like, perfect. I don't really care. Like, it gets them off the floor and I don't have to put them away.
Yeah.
Picking their clothes out. I do not let my child go to daycare in like one sock and a t-shirt because that's what they wanted to wear that day. My kids have parameters, I guess I want to say. When I say pick out their clothes, I'm like, oh, what shirt do you want to wear? You only have so many options because I know what's in the drawer. You can't find your shorts right now. It's March in Canada. My kids are not wearing shorts. They're two. So, like, there's certain things that they can't find right now that they can fit in that they own, well, that we own, but they think that they're picking out their clothes. It's the illusion of choice. That's all it is. Kinsley also knows how to put her pants on now. She put her bottom half of her pajamas on tonight. They put their boots on. They put their coats on. We have it's called the Montessori way to put on a coat.
Yes.
My kids do that. They learned it at daycare.
Ella learned it at daycare too. It's a great.
I don't know who came up with that, but you are amazing. Pick out a book to read. I legitimately thought Reagan could read at two, and I was like, oh, I have a genius child, because we have a book that is called Read Me a Book. Nope. She says it to every book. My heart somewhat broke in that moment, because I was just like, oh, this is so cute. I thought she could read, and then I was like, nah, you're just saying something.
Yeah.
Because she picked out that specific book, and she's like, read me a book, and I'm like, oh. You can read. No.
No.
Again, I've kind of removed some of the books that we have in our house that are super annoying. One that comes to mind instantly is Brown Bear, Brown Bear. Also, we have Five Little Monkeys Jumping on the Bed. Which, by the way, I am so annoyed that my mom bought that book. The other book that we have that is actually hilarious that I don't mind reading but is also super annoying. If you live in Ontario and you have access to a Dollarama, you need to find the book that says, I think it's How Big is a Zagnod?
Oh my God. Erica made me read this book and I felt really dumb. Not an easy book to read.
First of all, my mom read it in the dollar store and then she bought it. So then like my kid brought it to me. I was like, okay, yeah, let's read this book. And then I started reading it and I was like, what is this? And you start reading it and you're like, what are these words? What are these terms? And there is one page that I don't want to give away because like by the time you get to it, you're just dying of laughter. I'm not going to lie, the first time that I read it, I almost peed my pants because I was laughing so hard. I swear, I think Reagan thought that I was, like, troubled because I was reading it. I'm laughing harder and harder. And she's looking at me. She's like, what is so funny?
It is a hilarious book, and you should go get it.
It's, like, maybe $4 at most, but, like, the entertainment value. We made my brother read it, and he got to, like, page two, and he's like, nah, I'm out.
Shane would quit too, for sure. I want to go. I should go buy it just so he can read it and I can sit there. I'm going to make all of his friends read it to Ella.
Oh my God. You should be like, can I videotape you reading this for the first time and put it on like our Instagram?
I'll try. No. I can go find it.
The next one is putting clothes in the washer or dryer and taking clothes out of the washer or dryer. My children think that this is like the funnest game ever.
Do you have front loaders?
Yes.
That's why. I was like, my kids cannot put things in or out of my washer.
If you have a top load washer and dryer, I'm sorry about your luck. You're probably not going to be able to do this until your kids are like 12. My mom also put our washer and dryer up on a pedestal. So my kids have to stand on a stool, which is fantastic, except for the fact that my children don't realize they're standing on a stool and I've had to catch them. Also, I think it's hilarious because I like will push Kinsley like to her hips in the dryer so she can reach to the back of it to bring the clothes forward. She thinks it's hilarious.
I like it.
The last one is standing beside the car while I'm loading or unloading the other child. This has like a three-pronged reason. One, it teaches them to listen. Two, it teaches them how to behave in a parking lot. And three, it teaches them patience.
Which your kids are really good at.
I don't actually, like, I still don't think that my kids are all that patient. But anyone who, like, sees my kids are like, they're so patient.
So like, patient.
Reagan was just standing there while you were changing Ella. She wasn't fussing. She wasn't first. She was just like, I'll just wait.
So patient. But they've don't know anything different. Like, they've always had to wait for you to either change one or before the other, or do something like wash their hands and stuff after they're done eating and clean them up. Like, they've always had to wait. And I feel like you made sure that you didn't always go to the first kid, like the same kid all the time. So they both got used to it. So
yeah,
like Ella being an only child right now, she doesn't know anything different. She just knows that she gets mommy and daddy now. And that's what it is. It's hard to teach that, like teach patients when they're an only child and that's like they have two of us at their disposal, where you have two with one person at their disposal, right? Like, it's totally different scenario.
I do have a huge help from my parents. Like, I will say that it's not just constantly me on my own, but when it was COVID, like my grandparents weren't coming and I was here by myself with my two kids. So yes, there were times where it was just me and the two kids, but like when I pick my kids up from daycare, I drop them off. It is just me. Now, like there are mornings where like the educators will show up at the same time as me. And there's like more than one educator that's like, oh, do you want me to pick you up? And I'm like, I don't care. Like this morning, I actually walked into the center and like the daycare worker was like outside talking to another parent. I turn around and I was like, oh, she's like, sorry. I was like, that's fine. I'm like, what do you do? Walk off with my child? Like, you're coming to work. My kid has to go to your room. Like, I'm not worried.
Right.
I'm like, as long as you were cool, like holding my child while you were outside.
Well, you're not working yet.
But yeah, I don't know. I guess my kids are very patient. They're patient unless they're having a meltdown. And I specifically am referring to Kinsley, because if she's having a meltdown, she's not patient.
But it's also understandable.
Like, I think Regan is way more patient than Kinsley.
Yeah.
I think Kinsley's more like, I want it now. I'm like, no.
She's still good, though. Like, compared to, like, Ella, she's way more patient than Ella still. But if she's having a meltdown, it's a completely logical reason to not be patient.
She had a meltdown today because I told her she had to get up. And I was like, no, can I change you? No. Okay. Sit there in a poopy diaper. And then I realized afterwards, after the entire meltdown had gone down, she wasn't actually mad at me. She was mad that I wasn't listening, that she had to go poop. And I'm like, you didn't tell me that you had to poop. I was like, I asked if you were poopy and you said no.
That's funny. Ella peed on the potty today.
Yay!
We were in the bath and she started saying that she had to poop. And we got out of the bath and got on the potty and she ended up peeing.
Yay!
Very exciting. I'm like, you totally could have did that in bathtub. I wouldn't even have known.
That's Regan. She will literally stand there, lock eyes with you, and go pee. Super awkward, by the way. Also, total life hack to get your kids to do more chores, especially if they're toddlers. Ask them, can you show me how to do X? I don't know why phrasing everything like your child has an option to like prove something to you, or like, can you show me where we brush our teeth? Like, if you get them to like think that they're accomplishing a task, they think that they're the smartest person in the freaking world, and B, they think that they're like outsmarting you, which I'm like, okay. I can't take credit for that. I saw that on like a Instagram reel or a TikTok. I don't know who that was. I don't remember who you are, but you are a genius. A literal genius. Do you have anything else that you want me to cover as far as chores?
I didn't think so.
Okay. Oh, I know something I want to say. As your children progress, continuously add more duties to their list. Like, my kids are two, and I feel like they have a pretty lengthy list, but, like, as they grow, putting your clothes in the dirty clothes hamper isn't so much a chore when you're, like, 17, 12, 6. I feel like that's just a daily expectation to keep your house tidy. Moving on to my to-do list. I have a to-do list. It's written out. If you want to effectively have a to-do list to get everything done, write it down. I think I have like 3 to-do lists in all actuality. I have like one that like I carry in my purse with me. It is handwritten. I carry a pen. Okay. I have like a notepad in my purse with a pen.
I'm the same way.
My best friend gave me this. I can't tell you what it says on the pen or what it says on the notepad, but it says blank chores and productive is blank. So you can fill those in with whatever you think they are. It is from a fantastic store. I cannot remember the name of right now, which we will put the store link in our bio so that you can go and purchase these items if you would like. They're awesome. Both of my items are like best sellers or staff picks or whatever. They're listed on podcast or on the website. They're listed, the 2 items that I use. I love these. When I empty out this notepad or this pen dies, I'm 1,000% buying more. Manage your to-do list so that it's manageable. Like, make it manageable, okay? You can totally, I have 2 to-do lists. I have one that I carry around, and I have like an 8x11 spiral bound notebook that I have that like sits at my desk at home that like is continuously like just pages and pages of just tasks. And then like every day I kind of like will make a new daily to-do list. There's things that I'm like, I just have as like a floating task that I'm like, this is something that's going to take me like 4 days to do. But if I don't start doing it now, it's going to take me 4 days in 4 days. And that's going to be 8 days that I haven't done this. Like, I need to condense the photos on my Google Photos because I don't want to pay. I have an external hard drive. So I don't need to have the 17 shots of my daughter's from last St. Patty's Day sitting on my Google Drive. I need like 2. I'm going to keep all 17 because they're hilarious, but I really only need 2. A while ago, I was having a conversation with my best friend, Cassandra, and I was like, I feel like I get nothing done. And she's like, just put 3 things on your to-do list. I don't care what the 3 things are. You can only put 3 things on today's to-do list. That's it. So I started doing that. And then I was like, I actually accomplished something. So I'm going to keep doing that. So my to-do list, honestly, I cap it at about 5 tasks. I like, if I can get 5 things done on my to-do list, we're good. I also have a master list, which is what I talked about, which is the 8.5x11 spiral bound notebook. But write it down. I also will write down, like, I have 2 sides of my notebook. Like, one side is like the pre-planned tasks. And the other one is like, oh, don't forget you have to do X, Y, or Z. Like, it's on the to-do list, but sometimes it's like a, hey, don't forget to do this. Like, my cousin decided to come back from her mat leave, and she's my hairdresser. So I have to book a hair appointment. I mean, I don't have to, but, like, I have very thick hair, and summer is coming, so I need to, for lack of a better term, trim my undercoat. Like a dog, like, I need to thin my hair out a lot. I also use Google Tasks. Again, I have a Google account for a reason. This is the other reason why I have a Google account. I have a Google phone. You can pre-program tasks into your daily life on every Tuesday. Like, I have on Wednesdays that, did you go check the flyers for groceries? Is stuff available? Stuff that you want? So I know, because if something is on sale, that means tomorrow, like, I have to go early to get it before it all sells out. It's very rare, but sometimes, like, if you're, like, my dad will only buy his work boots on sale. So if he knows that they're going on sale tomorrow, he actually will buy them today and then take them back to return them tomorrow and then buy them back. It is not illegal to do this. It's not a scam, but it secures that you actually get your item.
Fair enough.
Also, please don't do this on work boots because my dad might have a conniption.
Yeah.
If you wear size X in work boots that are this brand, don't do it. Like, but yeah, like, make your to-do list manageable. And like with Google Tasks, I like it because like every day I have like, did you edit for 15 minutes? We do an episode every 15 days. We only have like hour long episodes.
Yeah.
I only need that 4 times, but I just have it on a repeat that it's every day. Sorry, I just like see your finger come up. I only will, I just totally lost what I was going to say. Oh, like I have the edit the podcast for 15 minutes every day. I only need it for 4 out of those 14 days. But that one day that I forget, I'm like, oh crap, I did not edit. I have to remind myself to edit it. Remind myself to upload it. You know, did you brush your, I have one that's like my bedtime routine, and then I have one that's like my morning routine. I literally have them on there to remind me that's like, it's bedtime, go to bed.
I have one every day for bedtime. Just so if I'm not in bed by then, there's a problem. And it's not even that late. It's 10:30 and it says it's time for bed.
Oh goodness. Mine's at 9:15.
Oh, I'm normally in bed way before mine happens. If I don't see it, it's a good day.
Anything else you want me to add?
I don't think so.
Okay. I'm going to move on to workouts. This is so difficult to talk about because I'm so sporadic with my workouts and it bothers me. Be realistic. That's the best advice I can give. Don't get me wrong. I schedule that I'm going to work out every day. I'm at a solid 2 to 3 times a week that I'm going for a walk. That's my workout schedule right now. I'm trying. I'm going to give myself an A for effort because I don't give up. But trust me, I'm not going to do anything tomorrow. It's already way past. I'm tired. It's already way past when I want to do anything. But I might wake up tomorrow at 5 a.m. and be like, nah, I'm getting up. I need this. Fit the workouts in where you can. I know that if I work out at night, I am not going to sleep. It's not going to happen. I will be up until 2 in the morning. I know because I used to get off work of a midnight shift where I had worked a 12-hour midnight and I would go and work out. I'd go work out. Nope, I'm up till noon.
Yeah.
So I worked 8 p.m. to 8 a.m., went for a workout. Now I'm up till noon and I have to work at 8 p.m.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
No. My body. What works for you. So just put a workout in that works for you. Your whole schedule should work for you. So by putting this in a place that say first thing in the morning, so Erica can get a good night's sleep, keeps her on it, it forces her to get up, gives her something to look forward to, and keeps her kind of in a routine.
Yeah. It's hard. I'm not going to lie. When that 5 a.m. alarm goes off, I'm just like, ugh. I can't do this. I'm too tired. I hit snooze. And then in between my alarm going off and me hitting snooze, I'm like, get up. Why are you being so lazy? That's what goes on. That's my internal monologue. And I'm like, yeah, let's go. And I drag my butt up and I go get my pre-workout and put on my workout clothes. And I go to the treadmill and I go for my walk. I watch my show. Just because you skipped one is not the end of the world. Just keep trying. Trust me. The best thing I can tell you is to just keep at it. Pre-kids, when I had a very strict schedule, I worked out 5 days a week. No, sorry, 6. And 3 of those days on top of lifting weights, I did cardio. And not I walked on a treadmill for 20 minutes. I ran on the elliptical at 5 miles an hour for 20 minutes to a half hour. And had a physical job. Don't get me wrong. I was in great shape. I wish I could go back to that. Because I was I'm so out of shape.
Hey, you're taking the first step by walking.
Yes, I'm getting back into, I haven't really worked out for 2 years. And I'm if I go back too hard, my body's going to be no.
Yeah, and just shut down.
Yeah, because I did a really super intense beach body workout. And it was a beginner level. And I was ooh, this is a bit concerning because I thought that I could start back at intermediate. Because I'm I've worked out before. No. No, I'm like hard back to like beginner, like minimum time every other day, not every day. Like, I'll get there.
Yes, you will.
Which brings me to the me time / self-care. I do not care what your self-care looks like. You want to shop on Amazon, you need to load up your Shein cart and abandon it. You need to go work out, go on a treadmill, go for a walk, go to the gym and lift heavy weights. You need to, if you need to take some personal time away from your children that requires 18 plus audiences, if you know where I'm going with this, that is your self-care. I don't care. You need to fulfill like the six areas that we talked about in our self-care episode, which I did not copy and paste into this. But your self-care basically needs to like stimulate your mind, make you feel like you got a hug, make you feel like I did nothing and this is awesome. Like nurture your mind, your body, and your soul, I think would be like the easiest way to describe it.
Yeah.
Working out for me is self-care. And when I don't work out, I'm like, oh, I should have gotten up. I also like taking a bath. I love knitting. Knitting is probably one of my favorites only because I can knit while I sit and watch TV. But I also will sit there and like watch a super intensive show. Like I used to watch, it was like Shameless, and I would sit there and knit. And everyone's like, how do you watch Shameless and knit? Because like 90% of the show is like watching the facial expressions of everyone else in the scene. And I'm like, oh, I'm not watching what I'm knitting. I like maybe will watch like one or two stitches, but that's about it.
Right.
They're like, how are you doing that? I'm like, I don't know. I just am. The last thing that I'm going to touch on, I plan my schedule and then I get about 4 to 5 hours of child-free time away from my children, which is great, except if my kids wake up in the middle of the night, I get 4 hours of sleep and the next day I'm just functioning. Yeah, I did not get my like 5 hours of child-free time and I'm screwed. So then I just kind of push everything to the next day and be like, well, just work a little harder.
Yeah.
Next week, we're going to talk all about meal planning and budgeting. And I'm not going to lie, I feel super out of my depth talking to a chef about food prepping. Like you told me,
don't do it. So
I know, but I'm like, I know like how to cook mac and cheese out of a box. And you're like, we cook tuna steaks. And I'm like, I'm a little intimidated.
We eat mussels, steak, asparagus, and mashed potatoes for dinner tonight.
I made my kid box mac and cheese and we mixed in peas.
Nice.
Like that, we are not in the same realm of cooking. However, I'm somehow going to be teaching you how to cook. You're like, that's
you're
what
not
it feels
teaching
like.
Teaching me how to cook.
No, but that's what it feels like to me. I'm like, why? Like,
we're just really bad for like, this is what we want. Then we just go to the grocery store and buy it. We're like, we're spending a lot of money doing that. Whereas if we planned a little better, we could save a lot of money and buy when it's on sale.
Okay, are we going to go on to our highs and lows?
Yep.
All right, I went first last week. You got to go first this week.
All right, so we don't skip any of ours.
It's fine.
I still can't believe that even happened.
It's fine. My high last week, I legit, is actually my low this week. So, like, it's kind of a good thing. I didn't even tell you everyone what my high was.
All right. So, my high this week is it's my birthday this week, and I'm excited. I also feel like things have gone back to normal, or, like, very close to getting back to normal. Like, the mask mandate is ending, and the border is opening, and... like, the border's open, but, like, you still have to do jump through hoops to cross. So, yes. All of that's going to be ending, and it's very exciting. It's good news for my birthday.
I also feel bad because I totally forgot until you said that I saw it and I was like, oh, it's your birthday tomorrow. And I totally forgot.
And you got a whole extra day. It's not until Friday. But I took like Thursday, Friday off. My birthday is the day after St. Patrick's Day. You are not going to hear this episode until way after that. But I always take St. Patrick's Day off because nobody wants to celebrate my birthday because they're too hungover. So I have never worked my birthday in all the years I've been working. So I'm not about to start. So I take my birthday off and I take St. Patty's Day off. And although tomorrow is not really going to be like a drinking party day, I am going to drink. But I also have like a long list of to-dos that need to get done and appointments that need to get done. So my first part of my day is going to be like busy day, getting stuff done, and then fun after. So, and then I plan on spending most of my birthday in bed just because I don't get to do that. Like I plan on eating in bed and watching movies in bed and just laying in bed all day. That's my goal. Whether that actually happens or not is a completely different scenario, but that is my goal.
That sounds so nice.
Right? When do you get to do that? And Ella's at daycare both of these days, so.
Is Shane able to pick her up either of those days?
He is probably going to pick her up both days because I'm going to make him.
Get day drunk.
Get day drunk and
call me.
I already told him that he is the responsible one tomorrow and that I will be doing Irish car bombs, even if they're by myself.
Oh my God, I will totally, I need to stop at the LCBO and pick up the ingredients for Irish car bombs. I will do one with you tomorrow because I miss those.
They're so good.
Oh, that means I got to stop at an LCBO tomorrow. Damn it.
Not a good day to stop at the LCBO, but I too am going to the LCBO tomorrow. To get the ingredients. I also got some good news today from my doctor who did my scope for my gallbladder.
Yay! I got
all clear. Everything is good. I did have a list of questions for him because when I talked to him, I was still pretty out of it. And afterwards, I was like, but nothing's making sense. So I asked all of my questions. He was really good about it, which was nice because I feel like so many doctors try to like just push you along, and he was really good. And he's like, do you have any more questions? And I was like, actually, I do. And he let me get them all out and he answered them all and I feel good. I still need to have my gallbladder removed, but it seems like I should be good for the most part. The stuff he did is like a good temporary fix, but I still need to get my gallbladder out. Another thing that I have a lot of highs today, apparently. So one other thing that I know Erica will be very excited and proud of me for is I reorganized and decluttered the closet in my office. I will show you a picture after. It's very exciting.
I know it doesn't sound like a big deal. It may not sound like a big deal, but like the fact, like you have been decluttering and organizing and going through this and like messaging me and asking for my help for 6 months.
Yeah.
I want to say 6 months to a year, but time is now a construct that I don't adhere to anymore. If anyone's seen that meme, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah. But yay, it's done. Well, it's not done. But we're really close, and there's a lot of stuff gone, which is great.
I'm super excited to see this. Did you take a picture of before?
No, because I don't even think I could, because I don't think I could open the door.
Because
outside of it was bad. So I had organized, like, my office, and then I was like, but I don't like the closet. And then I decided to destroy the closet and Shane came up here and he's like, I thought this room was like better. And I was like, it was, but that the closet is empty. And he's like, well, I guess that's something. Oh, you have to make a mess to clean up a mess kind of thing.
Oh, you should see when I reorganize my deep freeze.
Yeah. Like, it's a crazy thing. Yeah. So my low today is kind of super funny, but it's still a low because it broke my little heart. Ella repeated a bad word today, and it's the first time she's ever done this. I have a mouth of a trucker, and I am really bad for what comes out of my mouth.
You'd never know it on this podcast because we don't swear.
Right. I'm pretty good on here, but the word I said wasn't even like, it's not a bad word, but I said it in a bad way. And then she repeated it. And it was like another parent kind of driving like a maniac, like into the parking lot. And I said a word and then she just kept repeating it. And I was like, and then I came home and told Shane and I'm like, so just to let you know. And he's like, maybe you should take your own advice and not say those things around her. Because clearly you're the one that's going to cause the repeating bad words.
If it makes you feel any better, Regan, for a period of time, used to say, oh, sit. But she can't say sit. Just in case everyone can connect the dots on that one, just think about it. She still says it to this day. So yeah, like just to make you feel a little bit better. My child also.
I know it happens, and I know it's going to happen, but, like, it was the first one. And I was just like, oh, no. Oh, no. I was like, and it was clear as day to you. Like, Ella's still, like, obviously learned Jesus.
Oh, Reagan's first bad word was in Costco.
All right.
Clear as day.
I don't feel so bad. But
yeah,
like, see, like, because we're not religious, and I said it like this, like a lady just pulled in like a bat out of hell, and I was just like, Jesus, like, and then she just kept saying, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And I was like, no, like, even if she was to say that at daycare, they wouldn't think anything bad about it, but it's really coming from a bad place. And I was like, ooh, we're there. Like, I need to watch what I say because we are there. And she's going to repeat things. Like, it's going to happen. Like, I know it's going to happen.
It's funny when it's not your kid.
Yes. Like, when it happens, you're just like, oh, crap. That is not a good parenting point on my, like, that is bad doing on my part. But yeah, when it's someone else's kid, it's hilarious.
We cut out a whole bunch of this episode just talking about, like, other people's kids and our own kids and what they were swearing, just in case anyone's wondering. But, like, honestly, the best thing that I can tell, or the worst best thing, I don't know, the one thing that I can tell everyone is, like, it happens. Like, both my kids have repeated swear words that I have said, and then I just, my mom looks at me and I'm like, oh crap.
It's gonna happen. You just need to take it with a grain of salt. Don't beat yourself up too bad and try not to react. Right? Like, that's the worst part. How do you not react when you're like, that's hilarious and that's bad, but don't say it again? Because if the more you react, the more they want to say it. So you just have to, like, just move on and hope not to react.
I'm so glad I caught the fact that I was on mute. I am not going to lie. You think it is funny when a kid says, like, penis, and you sit there and giggle. It is a million times worse when your kid is, like, 2 and they swear and you have to stone face and not react because otherwise they'll keep doing it. That's hard. Oh, that is so hard because my dad will sit there and he's going, like, beet red trying not to laugh. My mom has a look of shock and I'm just sitting there going, would you like some more peas? Like, I ignore it because as soon as you ignore it, they will not say anything.
Right.
But it still sucks.
Yeah. All right. Let's hear your highs and lows.
Should I go with my high or my low?
Go with your low and end on a high.
Okay. So my low is.
We talked about this.
We did. Because it was not in the episode. I must have cut it out.
Must have.
It's fine. I also, we had like 20 minutes for our highs and lows. So like that was something else. We also recorded our highs and lows after the fact from Lauren's interview. So my low is I put in an offer on to rent two different houses. I didn't get either house.
That sucks.
Excuse me. Also, it's melty outside is what I said to you at the very beginning of this before we started recording. So I'm going to use it. It's melty outside, which basically means everything is wet and muddy and cold. And I hate this time of year for like many reasons. One is the fact that I can't wear anything nice because I am clumsy and will fall and then get like road goo slash salt, sand, dirt onto my clothing and then it's ruined. Two, I like to wear Crocs with socks, which is not a good combination in this weather because everything is wet and then my socks are wet and then I'm just mad.
Cranky Erica.
I also get allergies. So when everything comes into bloom, I turn into that kid. Like legit last year, thought I had COVID. I woke up, couldn't breathe, couldn't like taste, couldn't smell. Realized I went and checked the weather network. The pollen count was like 11. I'm like, that's why I can't breathe, because the pollen is everywhere. Also, just in case anyone is wondering as to why your allergies have gotten so much worse in the last like 5 years, fun fact from TikTok, apparently the city planning committee of most urban centers have decided to plant male trees that release pollen because female trees release fruit or flowers. So it's the male trees that are producing all this pollen, which is why we're all having worse allergies. I'm like,
because there's all so right. much more pollen.
Yes. So the pollen count is actually higher. So I'm under the impression that we should all just start chopping down all of these male trees and planting female trees. One, because then we can have free fresh fruit like at our doorstep. And two, so we can all not die during springtime. Just a thought. My high is also kind of a low because it means my kids are growing up. They're moving to the preschool room.
Yay! This is so soon.
I know. It is, but it also isn't. Okay, so the preschool room is for 2.5 to school. This is their last move before they go into school. This is terrifying because this means this is their last room before school. As I say this, it also like, They'll be moving when they're approximately 29 months old, and they're really not actually supposed to start in this room until they're 2.5, which is 30 months old. So, like, I need to toot my own horn because this is why it's my high. My preemie children are moving to the preschool room a month early from their actual age, which means my kids are moving to the preschool room 3 months early.
That's exciting.
I know that you're supposed to age your kid out of preemie status, and my kids have been cleared of preemie status, but I still think it's a freaking miracle that my kids are going to preschool technically 3 months early. That to me is like crazy.
It is crazy. I don't think my brain has thought about preschool room yet. I'm not mentally there yet. Ella's also 6 months behind the girls, so I have some time. But
is she a toddler even?
Yeah.
Okay.
So she went into the toddler room like 2 months early. So she went at 16 months when you're supposed to go at 18.
I feel like that's a guideline. So
yeah.
But at the same time, I'm still like, they went early.
Right. So she went to the toddler room early, but my brain just, it's just not there. Like the fact that like preschool's even like in the sights, not ready. Just not ready, but it's so good. Like Kinsley and Reagan are so good. They're patient. They're kind. Like, they're such good kids. So I totally get it.
I get it too. But I am terrified that this is, like, not going to go well. They're going to freak out. It's going to be dropping them off all over again. But then I'm like, first of all, Ella's right next door, who's, like, one of my really good friends and also, like, knows my kids. This is going to be post-mask mandates being lifted. Ella right across the hall, who are their regular educators. And I feel like one of the educators that is in my girl's new room, she was in the girl's room, like, in September of last year. So it's not like they don't know the people that are in their room. And apparently, like, three of the kids that are currently in that preschool room came from their toddler room.
Yeah, I think you're more worried than you need to be.
I'm very much, like, an overthinker and, like, catastrophize certain things that don't need to be catastrophized. But, like, when I drop my kids off at daycare, like, they love daycare. They love the room they're in. They love their friends.
Thank you for listening to this episode of our podcast. We appreciate all the support. If you like this episode, please subscribe to the podcast. Jump over to our social media for all the links about all the stuff we talked about today. We wanted to hear from you. Send us a DM or an email. See you on the 15th.